come again?
Can you put it on the table
here,
by
the
just like it is.
Yeah.
On the roll out of Guyana. But before we can start, on behalf of the portfolio committee, there are outstanding issues that we requested you to give information on. On the 19th of January, we requested additional information regarding the immovable assets identified during the enhancement process of the asset register, especially the information related to the state property rented at 1 for a period of 99 years, e.g. profitable wine farms in the Western Cape, 50% of Port St. John's in the Eastern Cape through the South African Bantu Trust, valuable property in Wood Bay in the Cape Peninsula, and a panel shop on the harbour front. We are also informed that the department also owned a number of wine farms in the Western Cape that were on the 99 list. And we haven't, up to now, received the information. Secondly, old Lydia, we have checked through the agency, table of strategic plan of your funding. It was reflected in the ATP. And if you have already tabled it, can we just say that you have tabled your ATP? The third one is a complementary one. Before your presentation on the assets, on the Guyana. This morning I requested Dine to check on your amnesty hotline, that is 0800-782-542, to see whether their hotline is working. Just want to acknowledge that it does work. If you want to check on the issues of accidents, amnesty, and Rea Badala, go through that hotline. It works from 7:30 in the morning to 10 p.m. weekday. And we are also informed that there are discussions on discussions for the hotline to work during the weekend. So we'll wait for their response whether the hotline will also work on weekends when we are home so that we can be able to check. Otherwise, we compliment you that I requested Annette to do that on behalf of the committee. So members of the committee, the hotline is on. Thank you very much for that. You can have the message back to the department. Can we start the presentation? How about you, Mani?
Thank you, SK and honorable members. sorry, I am Lydia Bibi, acting COO with SASA Southern, with the DDG Asset Management. Florence Rabada, who is the Chief Director, Asset Register. Ronnie Musalo, acting DDG Policy. Chair, we are going to present on the progress on the implementation of Guyana. We are also going to present on the asset register progress on the asset register. I think we'll touch on the amnesty call. Thanks for the recognition on the functioning of our hotline. But before we do that, let me apologize for the DG. He had to go somewhere for the minister. Before we start, maybe I need to respond to the issues that you raised. We've got the list that the honorable members gave to us. We've got a member in the asset investment unit that is working on that. We want to give you a comprehensive list, a comprehensive report. We don't know when we can have that.
We're sending people out.
They want to verify the information. We don't want to give incorrect information. if the portfolio committee would not mind giving us at least 2 weeks, will give progress no matter what, even if there are a few properties that have not been visited, but we will give you progress on whatever we have. So we are working on that, if you can give us a little bit of time. Strategic plan, I'm actually sending out, it's just the information that I don't have. Adam, unfortunately, is not with us. Is in the portfolio committee. Another team of ours is in the portfolio committee of transport. I'm sending out SMSs to check whether our strategic plan has been tabled. Hopefully, before we finalize the meeting, I will get the feedback and I will report back to the portfolio committee on the issue of the amnesty we've commented, but the detail will be in the presentation. The presentations, they are structured such that they respond specifically. The honourable members raised some questions in relation to GIAMA implementation as well as the asset register. So the members will present the response on the questions, but follow that up with the progress report. Ronnie, with your permission, Chair and honourable members. Ronnie will start with the implementation of GIAMA, and then SASA will follow with the progress on asset register. The honourable members will direct whether you want to take the questions in between those presentations. But there are one process in the department. There are a lot of activities that are around making sure that we implement GIAMA fully. And there would be various teams that are working on various parts of that. So the point is that part of the upgrading of the asset register is linked to the implementation of GIAMA. It's one of the subsets, even though they're driven within the department by different people. But in terms of the program, that's one program for the department. So with your permission, Chair, we will do the SASA will give the detail of that, but what has happened is that on two occasions the minister has made an announcement on that. The first one was in the normal parliamentary media briefing when she mentioned that it will be starting with effect from the 1st of March. The second one was in a media briefing where she was talking about a whole lot of things, but the main focus was on the professionals. So effectively, we've got the team that is working, the call center working, and people that are receiving calls. We have not launched it officially for a specific media focus on it. The advice we got from the communications team was that if we launch the project together at the same time before people internalize it, they are, as the term they use, the campaigns will cannibalize each other. You know, that is, people will get confused. They won't know what we're talking about. We needed to get the professionals' campaign bedded down and understood, and people responding to it. It does not mean the amnesty has not started. Those people that have the information, I'm sure they are or will be calling. but you are right, we need to aggressively campaign and get it out in the media, print or electronic, and everywhere. What we did, for instance, with the professionals, that not only did the minister went out on media, both print and electronic, we as officials, we took up some time in a radio slot in all the languages where we're explaining the program and answering questions. That is the shape this one will take, but we needed, in fact, they wanted 2 weeks, the cooling off period between the aggressive launch of the profession and then the starting aggressively on the campaign. Unfortunately, I don't have the date yet, but as soon as we've got the date, the program is ready. I think our communications team, they've run the program. It's a matter of getting the date and getting it out there. But I don't think it will be more than 2 weeks. Yeah. But we announce it.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning, and thanks once more even to Honorable Members. As the Acting COO has indicated, the presentation will form 2 parts, and I will deal with the first part of the presentation, which seeks to address the matters raised in our last interaction with the Portfolio Committee and also the engagement with the various stakeholders. We reported in the last time to Honorable Members that we have what we call the GIAMA Implementation Technical Committee, and then we also reported that we are in consultation and we interact regularly with the National Treasury as well as the CIDB. And then the last part with the GIAMA, Honorable Members requested that we come up with the plan that has timelines towards the extension to local government. So those are the areas that we will cover. Just to again remind ourselves of the questions that Honorable Members requested, that they wanted to know which mini public works departments are there and where are they situated. Also, which functions of public works have these departments taken over, the impact on mini public works when it comes to the department, and also how has the department resolved these issues. And lastly, when we reported that we have a revised toolkit, Honorable Members asked if that toolkit is there on the CIDB website and whether it is accessible. Now, we have responded to say the main 2 departments that have mini public works is education and health, and in all provinces. And with regards to the functions, it's mainly on the maintenance of buildings, and simply because the budget is devolved to them, it resides with the department. Hence, they then go on and maintain the building. In terms of the impact that it has, the mandate of public works is compromised in the sense that the department does not have much of a say when it comes to appointment of service providers. The department will, however, before any final handover is done, the department would be involved when it comes to making sure that the quality of the service rendered is of a standard that is acceptable. And then how are we resolving that? We have had interactions and discussions with the Treasury that moving forward, and also GIAMA requires that the budget be allocated to the custodian department. And during July to August, before tabling to the medium-term expenditure committee, then the three departments, the three parties will come together. That would be the user, the custodian, as well as the relevant treasury, and then decide on the allocation of the maintenance budget. The toolkit, yes, it is on the CIDB website. On the we go to procurement and delivery management services, and then there's a default on the toolkit, and then it can be accessible on that particular website. Last month we had a GIAMA implementation technical committee, and in that particular meeting we had invited all parties that are affected by the management of immovable assets. We strengthened the relationship, particularly between the DPW, Rural Development, and the Provincial Treasury, together with National, as well as the CIDB. And we agreed that future meetings should involve all stakeholders so that we can have a better structured way of managing immovable assets. Not in the past 2 months where we were still setting the ground, and the CIDB would then promote the toolkit, whereas National and Provincial Treasuries and Public Works would have a separate meeting. Now moving forward, we will be having a joint meeting. And this will also assist with the immovable asset lifecycle management guidelines that are being developed, so that the input from all stakeholders can be incorporated into that particular guideline. Now, the national, provincial treasuries, as well as the CIDB, together with Public Works, will embark on provincial roadshows from April this year to outline the common budget planning cycle. What has happened in the past, there would be a DORA requirement that the infrastructure plans be submitted on a particular date. There will be now, there is now the user asset management plans, which requires that the UMs be submitted on the particular day. We have found a common budget cycling plan. Now it's for these three parties to go then and workshop it or have roadshows so that they can deliver the same message throughout the provinces. The second part is that when we submit the user asset management plan, and that was also reported previously, that it has taken into account now the infrastructure plan, that we will now submit one document which will take into account both. The third thing that will be taken to roadshows is the allocation of budget in terms of the user department's mandate. To say, and it will again, honorable members, address the issue of mini public works. To say, if the mandate of the Department of Health is to take care of our health, then leave the management of immovable assets to property managers. And the respective provincial treasuries as well as national treasury will take into account the allocation of budget to carry out the mandate. Honorable members requested that we come up with a proposed project plan towards the extension of GIAMA to local government. The department engaged COCTA and agreed on the following, that there are legislations that govern the local municipality, and it is not only the immovable assets. Now we need to go back and identify all those legislations affecting local government. Once we have done that, and we have, I will take the members through the four main ones, that we analyze how this legislation impacts on the immovable asset management. The third thing was to submit the infrastructure or asset management plan, taking into account then the 2010 toolkit. Now, this third one has already taken care of because we were working closely with the CIDB and the provincial treasurer on that particular one. The fourth thing is to look at the applicable regulations governing the municipal planning, that they should harmonize and with the principles as embodied into the PMIA. And lastly, we also agreed that maybe we should also prepare a project plan towards the extension to local government, so that when it gets to a particular date, we should not be saying we're waiting for this department to say this or do that. All of us have one common plan that we can work on. If a portfolio committee on COFTA requests that department to present, it must be the same plan as the same plan that we would present to honorable members. Now, it was on MS project. I don't know if it is attached on honorable members' handout, the particular plan that one can take through what they think more. Otherwise, I can display it on the screen. Displayed.
Why do we that? Can other members pick up this contract?
I want to increase it even more. No. I don't know if it's is it fine or some more chapter? Is it okay?
Ronnie, before proceeding,
just explain that.
Can I be clarified on something? Ronnie, do you still remember that in the first process of the bill,
yes,
municipalities were included in the bill. But in the final project, the last final project, the municipalities were taken out. As we are talking, where are those inputs going? My understanding is that though there will be consultation, but the consultation should also be covered by the former presentations that were, the former inputs that were made in the first phase of this act. That's how I understand it. And the inputs were there. What happened to those people?
Some of these, there was a request.
The former minister Muhammad, I think, was part of the project. And when Minister Didiza came in, she also attended to this. And in the last process, the municipality part disappeared. What happened? Why are those
Honorable Ted, I was part of the process throughout. At a policy stage, which was not a public consultation as far as I can remember, it was a document that we present to the minister and for the minister to present to cabinet for in principle approval. At the time, it was
The
late Minister Stella Spark. That was tabled in Parliament, incorporating all the spheres of government. Then the process of drafting the bill started, and that is when it was realized that actually the structures of this government, they are too difficult to put in one state. The first, as far as I can recall, the first draft bill, which would not have been consulted otherwise and outside under normal circumstances. It was just the national and provincial government. By the time we presented formally to the portfolio committee, I know that the portfolio committee at that time, they raised the concern about the exclusion of local government. Local government was not there already. So the minutes of the public hearings that the portfolio committee will have would not have local government, because local government already was included at that time. As a team that was running with the process, we never went to local government, because at the time that the bill was ready for public consumption, we had local government removed. We consulted with the government departments, all of them. That's what we do. Once we got in principle approval by the minister and cabinet, we start consulting. So we consulted with, we had workshops, we would have a broad workshop for all government departments. That would be followed by a broad workshop for the public, entire public. That information would not have the local government, because we did not consult.
Okay.
Maybe.
I did not exclude you, our discuss, from drinking a cup of tea. You can also help yourself. Can we allow Ronnie to present and we'll aid in this?
But can we just have an explanation of what is exactly going on here? Is this the study of each piece of legislation from a certain period, or just to get clarity?
Yeah, I'll take that. I wanted just to add to what the acting CEO said. The bill that was certified by the Chief State Law Advisor in February 2006 was for national and provincial department only. That the act.
Thanks for the presentation. I think it affects us, especially the plan now, to implement the and also try to include the project of all the fields of government. My honorable chair, if you look at the objectives of the act, it provides a uniform, immovable asset management framework to promote accountability and transparency within the government. My take to that, if you are talking about the government, you are talking about the three spheres of government. This is my understanding, I may be wrong. And in the presentation, the presentation indicates that there are committees, an implementation committee of Yama. And my concern, Chair, is that, or my question is that, if the local government, if the fear of government is not included because there were acts covering, like the Municipal Finance Management Act, Section 63 of the Municipal Finance Management Act, covering that, what was the provision for monitoring the implementation at the local level around that one? Because we are talking about the state assets, which includes all the government, as the objective is clearly indicating. And also, the indication is that when this was presented, as you are correctly indicating, as the president correctly indicated, it was only for the national government and provincial government. That was part. But later on, it was indicated that it covered the Municipal Finance Management Act of 2003 at a local sphere of government, to say that the municipal manager is responsible for the assets at the local level. But the monitoring tool, because I think the department is responsible for the asset department, I don't hear the link to say that how were they going to account at the local level, so that we at the national level understand what assets the government has. I'm not clear on the monitoring tool at the local level. And also now you indicated that you have engaged the writer around the issue of the budget for the implementation of the YAMA, maybe to give to different departments the budget to be allocated to different departments so that they can try and deal with the issue of the assets at the departmental level. But I'm not sure when the decision was taken that at the local level the municipal manager will be responsible, whether there was any budget that was allocated at a local level, so that we are in a position to know exactly that they are going to implement it, because at a provincial level and national, we are indicating that the treasury is responsible. How are we going to, at the local level, to implement that as per Section 63 of the National Finance Management Act? And also the guidelines, you said on your presentation, Section 3 of your presentation, you talk about the guidelines that you have now for the implementation of the KM. What you want to understand is that that guideline includes local level. I'm asking this because we requested that all the spheres of government must be part, and we are presenting now, we are beginning to identify the act that is different. Because maybe one will request that maybe when we deal with the issues, because even in the Giyama, if it was covered in the Municipal Finance Management Act of 2003, there was supposed to be a clause that is indicating that at a local level, it will be covered by Section 63 of the Municipal Management Act, so that we can be in a position to cover. And also maybe now, as we are going forward, maybe if we can include the quota to be cut and parcel, so that the local government can account, and also the local government to be represented also, so that they can feed the information for the assets at the local level. Okay?
According to the report, as of the 27th of April 1994, it was resolved that the state movable assets may only be registered in the name of the National Primary Provincial Government as early as 1994. But that never really happened. And if my memory serves me, okay, because as the members of the portfolio committee were very reluctant to pass the bill without the inclusion of the local government, it was said to within 3 years at the most. Within 3 years, it will be a local government. But now it's 2011, and you are still going to make
can you respond at that end of the point? Can you make it so that we can be able to survive?
It's a policy issue, you know.
Okay.
This is our policy. DBT actually here. You want to respond?
Okay. The question of the budget. Honorable members will know that the current act as it stands is national and provincial. Now, when we address the issue of budget, we address it on the basis of the applicability of the act. And again, the committee consisted of national and provincial custodians, as well as we would interact with the national and provincial users. So for now, the spreading of the budget, we are not discussing with the municipalities, I mean the local government, in terms of how they should do it based on their Municipal Finance Management Act. The reason for engaging national and provincial is because both of us use the PFMA. It's on those basis. Now, once the extension has been finalized, it will be a different approach. But for now, it is limited to national and provincial. Yes, the guidelines, yes, it's best practice. The basics of immovable asset management would be the same. The only difference would be the system. So the guidelines can be shared with the municipalities. In fact, we have requested our Mpumalanga colleagues to share those best practice guidelines with the municipalities that we visited during the oversight, seeing that they were mixing the movable and the immovable asset register. And that process has started. I actually engaged one of the colleagues yesterday to say, I don't want to go to portfolio committee and say it has happened, and it did not do it. So it has actually happened.
Can I just add that there are three parallel processes that are happening around here. The first one that has been happening for the past couple of years is monitoring the implementation at a national and provincial level in line with the approved act that is in existence. So that process is going ahead. We monitor, we make sure that everybody is on board. we're driving that as a department. The second process, Ronnie can talk a little bit more on this, is to say local government currently is not covered by the act. They have existing acts that govern the local government in terms of assets, whether immovable or movable, and financial management. Within that, we have what is called, is it a toolkit rule?
Yes.
We have a toolkit. That means you don't have to wait for changes in your legislation, as the regulations or guidelines, whatever. We've given them guidelines which are exactly the same as YAM, which will say even though your act has not been changed or our act has not been changed, you must implement the principles of YAM. So they will, in their planning, within their own legislative environment, they will include issues of YAM. That means in their ID, which is a planning tool for them, they will include a budget for immovable assets the same way as we do. That's the second process. The third process is the one that we are reporting to the members of parliament, which says the members of parliament have explicitly given us instruction that we need either to change legislation or bring new legislation. this is the program which we are consulting, because local government falls under COCTA, which we are consulting COCTA very closely. The program that Ronnie has outlined, he says, together with COCTA, we are seeing how we can do this within the legislation, because we have to understand the legislation. So those three parallel processes, eventually they will get together and come up with a legislative framework. But in terms of implementation, there is a process that is going on at local government.
Are there any follow-ups on this, on what
they
are
raised?
If there are not, can
we proceed with? Yeah, thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Yes. In that committee that has been established, COCTA Act, or they will be conducted separately, because they cause a problem, because they are the custodian of this act that appears there to make an info. If they are not part of the committee, maybe you will have to consider including them, but not just to conduct them outside the committee. Because as we are saying that, given Section 53 of the Municipal Financial Management Act, I don't think it's different from what is on the end of the Kiyama. It's the same. But now if you don't sit together and you conduct outside, maybe it will follow the process.
Yes, honorable member is correct. But what we agreed on doing is that this next step, which has started already, is to have the Department of Public Works together with the Department of Cooperative Government engaging together, and will form now a committee that will work together towards the extension. The existing committee was mainly because of Public Works and the Department. Now, the participation of COCTA into the entire it's not as custodian, it's as user department. So they are all involved in the various provincial user forums. But taking the forward, it will then be a separate, I think, which is the honorable member is addressing.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, mine is a very short one. It's about deep office. I suspect that they are dealing with the national deep office here. They are not dealing with other deep offices, because each province has got its own deep office. So there are some items which appear in the local deep office, for instance in KZN, it is a fiscal district. And there are some properties which only appear in the deep office in fiscal district. And they are not reflected in the national one in Pretoria. How are they going to consolidate all these things?
I think there is a national deep office that consolidates across the provinces. So they have a national register, and that's governed by Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. They have that. That includes all the provincial deed offices and all the properties that are in those provinces, right through the country. They do have that.
Okay.
There's a person that's on our vesting task team, Bella Mwanga. Yeah, he reports on all the properties from a national perspective that includes all the provincial deed offices.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. The last slide, I have indicated that the department, together with COCTA, identified legislations affecting local government. This is what COCTA has indicated, that they have four main legislations that impact on the immovable assets. The Municipal Systems Act, the Municipal Structures Act, the Water Act, as well as the Municipal Finance Management Act. Now, the approach is that here it will be the list of the activities Yeah, it will be the number of days that we will take to do this particular activity. We then agreed, let's give us ourselves time to look at the two legislations, mainly the Municipal Systems Act as well as the Municipal Structures Act, from the 1st of February right up to the April. And then the Water Act, we start now in March together with the MFMA, and then we continue until the 25th of April. In other words, after that particular period of about 2 months, we would then have extracted the similarities as well as the differences in terms of these pieces of legislation compared to then the GIAMA. So that process has already started, as we can see the date on the slide. And then moving further, after we have then completed on the, sorry, it jumps. You will see this one ends on the 25th of April. Immediately, then we start with the drafting of amendment of the Act. But then, now, in doing that, we also thought it might be a requirement that we prepare a CAP memo for cabinet approval so that the minister or both ministers can table it before cabinet, and then once the cabinet has approved the way forward, then we do that. The third part, immediately after, we've allocated about 40 days towards that because the program to give allowance for program of parliament. I must say, honorable members, this date is if the chain doesn't break. If all goes well and according to plan, it doesn't break, then this is how it will continue. The next part will be now the consultation. The consultation process, we have cut it to the bone. There are 283 municipalities. Not all municipalities would be reached, but at least the main bodies like SALGA and other bodies in the municipalities will be consulted, and that is under this organized local group. That within 50 days, I'm sure they can all be consulted. Now, it's not only the head office, National Department of Public Works, that would do that. We will involve also the provincial colleagues, because municipalities are closer to them than they are closer to the National Department of Public Works. The other stage is now to apply all those changes and comments and contributions raised during the consultation processes. To incorporate that should not take more than a weekend, which would be the 10 days. There's a new requirement, and that is that of regulatory impact assessment. The presidency indicated that departments spend a lot of time on legislation that either don't have that much impact or at the end are going to cost government a lot of money. Now we must go through the regulatory impact assessment to establish what impact this legislation will have and how much it's going to cost. So that we will then, it's three parties in this one. It's the department that proposes the legislation, it is the presidency, and it is the national treasury. But in our case, it will be four because there will be two departments, COCA and the DLA. And then there will also be consultations, and then we submit to Parliament for the processes. In short, Chairperson, we will start on the 1st of February, we will end on the 18th of June next year. It will take 360 days if the chain doesn't break. Holiday, Christmas, everything in place.
Can I also mention that a lot of these issues, they are not in our, or some of these issues, they are not in our control. We may submit in a certain forum or department or unit and keep on pushing for consideration, but some of the things we really might not have a control of them. This is just a normal plan that a legislative plan as we understand the process of legislative drafting, but more often than not, some of these dates they are just totally out of our control.
Can I ask a question? With the
slowness
of this process,
with the slow.
Are we going to meet the
2014
deadline? Can you please be honest
with us? On the extension, Honorable Chair.
On the whole process of capturing the assets, on the issue of assets.
Yeah.
2014 deadline. Yeah, well, actually, the presentation that we had last week, they talk about the finalizing and completion of the project of the asset register by 2030, if you can go through that presentation. But now looking at this process that is being presented before us, we are doubting that the target, is in line with the presentation that we got around the issue of the asset, because what we're looking at the areas of focus that were raised by the auditor general. And then we wanted to them to present a plan. The plan was showing the completion of the clean audit, even as clean audit, but we are not going to complete on this process related by 2013. That is the target. We are in line with the auditor general. But when we are looking at this, it's like contradicting what the plan we have received at this committee.
The plan, I assume, that was presented was only based on the department issues that are raised by Auditor General.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, what including asset register, usually we would outline the things that we need to do to address those and come to a final timeline. This one would not necessarily impact on the audit, on our own audit as a department. It's the legislative plan to bring a local government into a compliance with GIAMA. Otherwise, it is not directed to internal issues that we deal with that are related to Auditor General.
Yes, so I make a follow-up question. You know, our understanding, we just asked a question to say that are we going to get unqualified audit looking at this low case of the things, how the things are going? And we were told that there is a consultant that has been appointed to fast track the issue of the asset register. That will be appointed to fast track the issue of the asset register, because we said in the next auditor's areas of emphasis, are we going again to get this asset register as a problem? We were told that no, the completion is 2030 for the asset register, not all the issues, specifically asset register. And we are thinking that this impact on the asset register, so that's why the chair is asking, say, are we really going to finalize all the this asset register, or this one will be exclusive, the one that is pertaining to local government.
Mm-hmm.
If it is not, can I check you bear with me, sir? I'm not, I'm just new, you know. I came in this one here, so I may not understand a lot of things, you know. That's why I ask a lot. I want to really understand. To say that who is responsible for the assets of government? Which department is it really responsible for? If it is responsible for the assets of government, what is the difference between the assets of the local government and our assets? Do we exclude it not part of the assets of the government, local government assets? If one can just clarify it. We are talking about the assets of government. And if you look at the objectives of the IAMA, it talks about streamlining all the, you know, the assets of the government. If you are talking about finalizing the asset register of the government, we are excluding local government, it's not part of government.
In terms of the constitution, the constitution gives custodial powers and functions to a number of all tiers of government. At national, the owner of, on behalf of the state of government assets, is the president, and the president has delegated to a number of various departments. So the Department of Public Works would be a custodian for national assets, and within that, the accounting officer of Department of Public Works would be responsible and accountable for management of immovable assets in his or her own sphere. And therefore, when Auditor General audits the Department of Public Works, they will audit the Department of Public Works in line with the custodial responsibility. At the provincial level, the Constitution gives that right to the Premier, and a number of premiers have delegated to, unfortunately, a number of different departments, but mainly it would be Department of Public Works in terms of the assets that are at national, at provincial level. And the accounting officer would be responsible for that. When the provincial treasurer audits that department, any issue that is related to that sphere, it would get to their audit report. The same would apply to local government. Local government, the various municipalities, they are responsible for assets that fall under that municipality, and the municipal manager would be accountable. So the Auditor General, when they audit a municipality, they would be looking at a municipal manager for that particular sphere. And hence, if there are issues in a municipality anywhere in the country, they will not come to Public Works. But Honorable Chair, you are right, and members, you are right when you are saying the Department of Public Works, by virtue of its mandate, is responsible at a policy level. So when we put out IAMA, we put out the same way as National Treasury. National Treasury doesn't take the responsibility of various accounting officers, but in terms of financial management, they will put a framework that will apply to everybody. And therefore, you know, they would be responsible to make sure that in the policies that they put out, there's uniformity, there's consistency, and everything. But in auditing whether, for instance, let's take IAMA, in auditing whether a certain municipality in the Eastern Cape or a certain province, let's say Free State province, complies with IAMA, the Auditor General would not look at the Department of Public Works to comply with law, any other law, which would include the IAMA, it would also include laws like TFNA, they would be responsible. The Department of Public Works, by virtue of its mandate, would put a national framework. So, in summary, Chair, the issues, it does not mean that we don't mind that there are asset management issues. The issues that would come out of an audit of a municipality would not necessarily affect the audit of a Department of Public Works in as far as immovable assets. but we do take the responsibility to guide the municipalities, to guide the provinces, to ensure that they comply, they understand what the act is all about.
I'm going to read the sentence here, and then before they answer what she had just said, I want to read the sentence that sentence.
Page?
This page 5.
Of life.
Yeah, of life. See, after the register, tax team consisting of national and provincial custodians I forgot my reading glasses are there.
Okay, let me read it.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
After the result has been consisting of national and provincial custodians who promote best practices when dealing with asset register matters, this will result in common application of guidelines.
For instance, the local government is excluded. I think that is the problem with the the local government is excluded.
These were the issues that were raised by the members of the portfolio committee. And Bona, they must come and respond on the issues that were raised by the portfolio committee.
Oh, okay.
No, thank you very much. I think this is the explanation is clear. However, the honorable member is correct to say that at a local level, the understanding is that there are still challenges of the assets that are really not known. But if we work, you know, in silos as spheres of government, it will create a problem. I think when our government introduced integrated development planning, meant to say that all the spheres of government will streamline and plan together, the provincial sphere of government will understand what is happening at a local level. But the way we are dealing with our policies, it's like us and them, you know. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, if one comes, you know, and say, how many assets the government have at a local level? You know, we don't know, and we are the government. I think this integrated development planning means to say that we must plan together. And this is the approach that we need to follow.
Can we respond to the ask and we move first to the president?
I think
no,
the CEO will cover most of them.
Okay.
He covered most of them.
Yeah, you can't. Can't work back in.
The person saying, can't we shorten the process?
Yes.
I did not hear quite all.
It was June 2012. I don't think we're able to make it for us by 2014 to have a consolidated asset register. That's what I'm raising.
Why don't I don't know if you have a plan you have a plan okay in your presentation the plan why don't we look at the next presentation when we'll present on the asset register and if the members are not happy with what we are saying in terms of the plan then we can see if there's any way to shorten that one which would include obviously the legislative process for local government and compliance with them. I don't know if the members can respond to that immediately before presentation.
Yeah.
It might present a better picture if we present and you say this is what we plan to do to achieve our target for the completion of the asset register, and then we can see whether we can pass some of it.
I think, Chairperson, through you, maybe to respond to the fast tracking. Again, Acting COO explained that the two are separate processes. The fact that it takes 18 months to extend does not necessarily mean it will have a huge impact on the management of the asset register. Because we have guidelines in place already to say when you enhance your asset register, you will follow this particular guideline. And that particular guideline, as I indicated earlier on, is available for use by municipalities as well. What this means is, as honorable members indicated previously, we want to see the word local government in the booklet. So it's the process of adding the word local government in the booklet, but not necessarily in the yes.
Can you recall that maybe we are being updated all the time about the implementation of the plan so that we can see how we can support
the progress on,
yes,
on the plan. Okay. We stick to this one.
No, both.
Okay.
No, why did you just finish this one? They are some.
Yeah. No, this presentation is done.
That's
yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The next one. I think what we I can drive. What we did not do is to ask the question.
We need to answer the question.
What question?
We could get answers with us.
Okay. Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, we're first going to go in terms of giving you a progress report on the matters raised during the January meeting, and basically these were the salient issues that we raised, and some of our responses to that. The immovable asset management guidelines have been finalized and are being implemented throughout national and provincial departments. Essential fields have been identified for immediate implementation. The process will see that the asset registers improve substantially, and this includes that of Limpopo. The asset register task team consists of national and provincial custodians, and which will then seek to promote best practices when dealing with the asset register matters, and this will result in the common application of guidelines. We're looking at the spread of the appointment of plus minus 200 people to assist with the asset register and the completeness thereof. We will then show you on a separate slide in terms of the breakdown, in terms of the size of the portfolio as well as per province in terms of employment opportunities that will result from this exercise. The department has improved working relationships with the DEEP office on surveying of the state land as well as the vesting process, and this task team actually meets monthly. Further, the matters raised during the oversight visit by the honourable members. In terms of the Mpumalanga province, the department has made contact with the municipalities, and they are in the process, as my colleague has alluded to, they're in the process of sharing best practice guidelines on immovable asset management. So basically that process is on the go, and we will ensure that via COCTA that this gets spread across all the other 283 municipalities, so that it's on the go while the policy issues are being dealt with. The municipalities will then learn from national and provincial departments relevant to, for example, the toolkit that has been developed by CIDB and has been presented to all the municipalities. But alignment to that will be the best practice guidelines in terms of asset management for the state's portfolio. So this is being done as an intervention. A policy dealing with the allocation of state-owned and residential accommodation has been finalized. We are in the process of, we have engaged both national and provincial at this stage. It hasn't been extended to municipal level, but we will ensure that as part of the toolkit and the best practice guidelines that some of the policies that we have developed get shared once approved at municipal level as well. And vice versa, because they might have some good policies that we need to look at and implement. The amnesty strategy will also cover local municipalities. That we'll cover a little bit more in detail as we go along. And DPW will make essential fields for completion of the asset register available to municipalities. Further, in terms of the asset intervention and in terms of how we're progressing to ensure a complete asset register, as well as intensifying the vesting processes, we have developed a request for proposal. We subsequently closed, and what we're looking for is direct intervention in our asset register. And these are some of the issues that we're looking at, in that we need to source, verify, capture outstanding essential information fields in respect of each property on the asset register. Now, just to pause there is that we've indicated that we do have 80% of this information, but what we want to verify in most instances is the accuracy thereof. So we just want to indicate loud and clear that there is an asset register, and it's just about the enhancement thereof. Update existing fields with the latest information. Verify, fit, and capture information relating to single and multiple user departments and tenants. We do have at this particular stage, this is something that we need to focus on, because we have one building with multiple users, but because we're dealing across 45 departments, 11 regions, across 75,000 odd buildings, you have sometimes movements in terms of user departments moving out and not indicating to public works that we've actually moved out or we put another unit in there. For example, if it's a staff unit, if it's a criminal investigation unit, they might have put another unit in there and we wouldn't know. So we need to verify that information, for example. Link identified buildings and structures to the underlying land parcel. This is where most of the effort is going to be on. That's going to be quite intensive. And then to update the asset register with properties that have been vested. We know we're running a separate project aligned to this, which is the vesting exercise that we have committed, and that's the commitment that we've made to complete by 2020. In terms of the human resource allocation and in terms of the job creation commitment that we've made, we've linked it back to the number of properties and the size of the portfolio. As you can see in Bloemfontein, we have around 9,619 properties, and we aligned that to employing about 20 people to assist us with the completeness of the asset register of 40. Mabatu, in around the properties, once again 20 people. Polokwane, in around 20 people. Port Elizabeth, 14 people. Data, 6 people. And Kimberley, another 15 people. Beg your pardon? In Data?
The old one said less people.
Oh, sorry, we just edited one or two of the aspects. Okay, good. Oh, we did a little bit of an update, which we we didn't send through, but it's not big variances, it's very small variances.
I'll appreciate that based on
the okay. we apologize.
Can we go back to the slide on the next page? Maybe it will present a clearer picture. Then if there are changes, we can make them. It's much clearer. It tells you the number of properties and the number of people.
This one?
Yeah.
Maybe what we need to, honorable members will have to look on the screen.
There's a slide there that's been subsequently updated.
Allocation to religious question where it was presented in the last circular session.
Mm-hmm.
In next working today.
Sorry, I didn't hear that chairperson.
We don't have the slide.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we need to explain to them.
Okay.
Honorable Chairperson, what happened subsequent to sending the presentation? We realized that for members to go line by line and look at this previous slide, maybe we should add a table that would be clearer and see everything on one page. Hence the slide that is here, honorable members, was not part of the initial strategy. Yeah.
Honorable Chair, we must apologize for this. You know, we should not have information that is corrected just before the meeting of the portfolio committee. Can you just assess us through that slide, confirm the real number? We apologize, it should not have happened.
Okay, it is the slide on
the numbers.
Yes, these are the numbers. But what we've done is we've combined Umkata and TV, for example, we've got one number.
Yes.
So this is at provincial level, and the previous slide is on a regional level.
Sasa, are you 100% sure that the number of properties that you have presented there are the final properties?
Yes, that's in terms of our asset register count. Yeah.
Okay, I'll make a follow up. In those numbers of properties, are also underground properties included there?
Underground? No. The properties that we don't, the ghost properties, inverted commas, no, because they won't be on our asset register on the book chair. That is the exercise that we want to go out for the amnesty for and find those properties.
Mm-hmm.
But some of will just add.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable members, maybe what I need to clarify here, the properties that are reflected there are not the total number of properties that we have in the asset register. They are the properties that we are going to be enhancing during with this program of enhancement. So, for instance, we do have 108,000 properties all in the asset register, but then when you count this one, they come to 92,000 properties. So this is not the entire total portfolio. We have looked at the assets. That's why the numbers have even changed. To say that, you know, if Limpopo has only 10,062 properties that needs to be enhanced on the fields that are essential as per the agreement with the accountant general, they would require 20 people. We revised that information as we went along.
As we are sitting there, my observation is that you don't have the same understanding. You don't sit down before you are giving me and have a common figures of common approach. Because the way I sit between Sasa, are you Sasa?
Yes,
Sasa and Florence.
Mm-hmm.
And old Lydia, you know, you don't seem to deal well on the statistics that you are giving us. That's why I'm asking you a question. Are these final properties? And Colin says no, and Sasa says yes.
No,
that's
no.
Where we seem not to understand one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what we attempted to say is that these are the downloads from our active register. Maybe we didn't finish the sentence. The downloads from the active register in terms of the completeness that we will have to attend to. In terms of the where the confusion is coming in between the previous slides and this slide is that this is on a regional level. If you look at UMTATA and PE, they've indicated separately in terms of what I was presenting. But that is the properties that are here, at here, on a provincial level. So, yes, that is because we're dealing with the completeness of the asset register. Relevant to the number, the total number, we are standing together to say it's 108,562 properties as we have on.
Can we have next slide here the number of properties?
They
are on the provincial level. Okay. Then all of us will be able to understand. Once you say region,
yeah.
Region,
we get
confused. Okay. Yeah. We apologize. Region, provincial. Okay. No, say I agree with you. And secondly, we need to tell you whether this is a project, an ongoing project. Using a particular criteria which SASA and Florence can tell you. We've selected certain properties. I suspect it's those properties that need more attention. What we need to present you is whether in the duration of this process we will have that total number of properties. If we are reporting now all those properties in the various regions, and next time we'll report on the regions only, whether it's the final number. Because what has been happening, I know that we've been signing approval for people to be appointed right through the process. So you will today have 20 people, and if they've gone on the round to find that they need some, you approve. At some point, you have to have final figures. Maybe they can indicate that so that the members of parliament, as we go ahead with the project, they can know that these are the numbers, and when we present the progress report, we're presenting it on those numbers.
Can we have that slide so that all members should have that slide, so that more members will be able to follow up? These are estimated figures that we are seeing. We just want to highlight that these are estimated figures. And like the acting CEO has alluded to, there may be changes because if we look at, if we go back to each and every property level and there might not be any requirement, we may reduce, it might be increased in some regions where we think we need more resources. So these won't be the final figures until the appointments have been done. We don't want to come back and, you know, indicate that these were the final, as indicated on the top. Unfortunately, you can't see it here, but on my side it says estimated human resources. But they'll change very marginally.
Yeah, then can I check what is the transaction that is going to be appointed to allow people to access the data? Because the people that will be employing will verify the previous people to access the data.
That is the terms of reference
for the
program manager. What we are appointing is a program manager. The rest of the resources will be coming from the department as well as from the unemployed graduates that we intend to employ. So what we're doing is is appointing a program manager to assist us with
consultant.
Yes.
Okay, we'll just consider this to those
that.
You're intending to employ this consultant for how long?
For
2 years.
2 years.
The estimated figures that you gave us, have those properties been vetted, verified, and everything has been done on this?
No.
Mm-hmm.
These are the ones that require
yeah.
the benefit
yeah.
of the completeness, which includes vesting, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. Very quickly, just some added information. The task team, the asset register task team, consists of the Department of Public Works, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, as well as the Accountant General. Now, we meet regularly, especially with the Accountant General, to come to a common understanding on how we will be audited going forward. But more importantly, this task team feeds into a bigger technical task team in terms of the DPWDG, the National Treasury Accountant General, as well as the Auditor General South Africa. That particular task team then feeds into the bigger interministerial task team. The IMC has been constituted to look at properties across government, as well as to look at, in terms of the ministerial outcomes agreement, on how we're going to support the land redistribution program of government, including the agricultural reform process, the human settlements process, etc. Now, it's imperative that the one feeds into the other, because it goes to say, if we don't know the accuracy of the asset register, then we wouldn't be able to support these programs. And we feed into all of that as a consolidation.
But I'm still proceeding. On the original copy, this one, on page 12, what was then captured in that document is not appearing in the presentation that you are presenting right now. It says the present says bullet number 246. The present says the total of human resources allocated in all regions is 150, and the balance of 50 will be added at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but it comes to the 200 odd, because we've actually taken this at the head office level now, and we've redistributed to the regional level. So that's why we've asked.
So in the region, you have distributed about 150 of them.
This is our intention. We haven't distributed as yet, but we have appointed 52 contract workers for the vesting processes that are situated in our regional level. Do you want to add to that?
My question is, the total of human resources are located in the region.
Yes. That's in terms of you are right in the way it's reading. I'm not disagreeing on that. That is just in terms of our project plan that we are talking to. So the way it's done, I agree with you. It's not right. It's not being physically allocated as yet.
So intended to be allocated.
Apologies for that.
It was okay.
Honourable Chairman, what I can see, the reason why there are differences on the handouts that the members have now and the one that we are presenting now is precisely we went to each and every regional office and said, we have such portfolio, go through your asset register, tell us the number of assets which need to be verified as clarified there, vested and all that, and then we will allocate a number of human of people to assist accordingly. Initially, we allocated 150 through the regional officers, but then we realized they required more to do so. So the 50 that we said were going to be at head office for monitoring and stuff, we then spread the number still remains 200. We then spread those 50 through. Yeah, they're not physically there. But then once they come on board, this is how where the people are going to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the 200 still remains. We just took the 50, put it through all the regional offices to make sure that we fast-track the process. So that's we should have sent.
We apologize for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just the way time constraints on our side, we have to admit.
No, if you were saying that there were people that were going to remain in the human resources, let's say the plan, was it required? Did you require the 50 people actually to be in the head office? If now all of a sudden we are reaching the putting them down on your plan?
I don't know.
No. Sorry, do you
want to
answer that?
Okay. I think basically what
before responding, can we also allow her to add?
I'm getting more and more confused.
No, I'm going to the No, we're looking at the document together. If in the document there's a string of plus or minus, in plus
social within. They can be more than 200.
Yes,
so minor,
right.
Mm-hmm. They can be 199 or 190.
Yes, that's right.
What is the specific number? So that's either regular plus or minor. Two things. What is the exact number?
Can I just respond generally to that issue and generally to the project? Literally, we're presenting the project as we're planning. We're planning, we've got people that go on the ground to talk to the regional office to check the asset register to adjust the figure. When we see that, literally we do that. When we see that actually, you know, the count in terms of the asset that needs attention in Pretoria is much more, we put ourselves a target of about, and it is about, it will be determined in the final signing of all the appointments. So it's about how it may be 200, it may be less than 200, this is really being money. At some point, that's why I was saying, at some point, once we finalize all the plans, we will present to the portfolio committee in terms of the number of assets and the number of people that have been employed. Right now we change numbers. So the above would be saying in Mthatha you've allocated only 6. Actually having the people on the ground, we need one more. But we will work within a budget. If the budget was saying we are going to appoint about 200 people at a certain rate, we'll work within that. At some point, we even do that even on our own full-time staff. If we find that in a particular region, there's a little bit of extra resources, we request people to move to other regions for a specific period of time. So I'm saying we present this and we are going to work as much as possible to have final figures. The final figures will be when we have appointed the service provider, or maybe the word service provider, the project manager, and and we've appointed the people to be assisting us. Maybe Florence can add, but it might be changing still until we have the final, you know, numbers on the ground in terms of the
place.
I'm becoming more confused. What confuses me with this? When your plan is being guided by what you have. Before planning, you start identifying what is it that you want to achieve. In order to achieve that, what is it that you need? So if
what you plan is our hundred
team, we are aware when the time we are confused, because I thought it would be the Department of Public Works. Currently they know very well what it is that they are intending to do and how many people are required to execute that or to perform that particular task. And how much do they have for that particular project? Because a Pineni, if they don't know how many people do they require, a Pineni goes to another environment. Because they will appoint more people while they don't have money to pay those people. Then other program, they have to shift other funds from other program to this program. So it seems as if really there's no proper planning with regards to this. Because really, if you're playing correctly, you can tell us these are the number of properties, here are the number, this is the number of people that you're going to appoint, this is the amount of money to be used for this particular project. But if how many people are needed to verify to do this task? That is why it's becoming more and more confused. And come up with Mshambe. I don't know, Mshambe, which is new, just it's a normal thing,
it's
becoming more confused. I have a comment?
No, but you see, Chair, the point is precisely that the immovable assets differ. I mean, I actually, on the other hand, appreciated that the department is prepared to move people where the problem is, as I understand it. So I agree with your argument in general, but because we have a problem with the immovable assets, that they know exactly the numbers, we need this type of approach, to my mind.
I don't know whether it will assist us as a committee this plan at the moment, or we wait until they come up with a plan as the request has come forward, that they will come with a plan present to us, because I've got the same argument as Honorable Wanyamadila was saying, to say that maybe at the moment it's not yet a concrete plan, because even the project manager is not yet maybe the project manager, if the project manager comes, maybe we'll identify more needs around this particular issue. But at the same time, I think it is correct to say that whatever plan we have, we must look at what we have as a budget. And then
it's just that we are a bit skeptical or whatever the way it might be, that in some provinces in India, they were immovable. But because of that, immovable. So it's because of that, we don't want. So it's not by that
We take note, and then I think it's agreed once the complexity of the problem has really been identified, you drill down to each step, then you can give accurate, because what we're doing is making you part of our planning process.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So we can move forward then to the amnesty call. Our COO did touch on some of the details, and as indicated, the minister has announced on the amnesty call, the Operation Bonita, as we are calling it, and we have appointed the call center operators and investigators, and the call center operators have assumed duties from 1 March, and we appreciate the good comments from the chair. Thank you very much. And that is the number, 0800-782-542, for anyone that wants to call in. And hopefully in the next 2 weeks, we invite you to a very nice the amnesty call is relevant to all our regions, all the provinces, municipalities, and state-owned entities. The regions have walk-in amnesty call centers, and where the public can report cases, they can walk in, and there's offices set up, and they can report cases there. The task team that has been appointed will investigate all cases that are reported, and then we will forward the report cases to the relevant provincial level, municipalities, etc., to assist us further with the investigations of assets. It's only once everything has been confirmed, verified, and the process also includes the deeds office, etc., then only will the asset register be updated. So all the information coming through at the outset wouldn't go into the asset register until the information has been verified. The vesting plan, we have 35,746 land parcels currently on the DPW asset register. The vesting target for 2010-2011 is 55%, which equals 19,660 land parcels. Currently, we've vested 12,653. We're under our target. but we've appointed 52 contract workers to assist us to fast track that process, and we hopefully to have a more sustained improvement there. We have about 3,430 unsurveyed land parcels out of the total of 35,746, and we are working now with the Surveyor General's office to also assist us to fast track that process. They also come on board, and together with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, because they are a component under them, and they are assisting us to fast track that, and they've appointed people as well to assist us with that. The Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, in terms of statistics that we've received from them of late, they have vested 8,288 land parcels to date. So we are working with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform as well as part of our task. In conclusion, Chair, the implementation of GIAMA has reached a critical stage, and we are assured of the continued commitment from both the executive management, the senior management, as well as custodian departments, and we all agree that this remains essential, as well as the support that we're receiving from yourself. Thank you very much for that. The completeness and accuracy of the immovable asset register in terms of the essential information depends on the collaboration and the dedication of all spheres of government. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Maybe let me start with responding on the last one. The program that we have, the last program that we have of Parliament goes up to just before the Easter weekend. In that list of departments that will be presenting their budget plan, Department of Public Works is not there. So we assume that we'll get an updated plan, and obviously the Department of Public Works will be there. So for now, what we have, it doesn't include the Department of Public Works, it goes to the weekend of Easter. On the threat plan, I'm still waiting for people that is our strategic management unit to give me the data. We're battling at Chairperson, but we'll give you the information as soon as we have. I understand they provided the report on SONA. We will leave the report with the honorable member, but at the time that the portfolio committee is ready, we can get the right or the relevant people to come and present it. The report itself is here. We will leave it with the honorable members, and then we can.
The department received an email from us requesting information on the strategic plan to say when was the strategic plan tabled, and if not tabled, when are you going to table? This morning we tried by all means to get hold of Ntombe, and we could not get hold of Ntombe. And now we are saying we don't have any information. To us as members of Parliament, it's very much unfair. Because we've been expecting you to tell us
when are you going to table your study plan, or if tabled, can we get a date, and we're not going to get a response.
Unfortunately, Adam is here, and unfortunately, he's in the transport meeting, and he's not, I'm sure he's got this information. It does that. Personally, I didn't know that there was that specific request. Otherwise, I would have brought it. I must apologize. I don't
but
want to be... No, this is the point. I don't want to respond to something that is not accurate, Honorable Member. And I have not been briefed that there was that specific information that is required. And I'm sure Adam is very meticulous with this thing. He has got that information. But unfortunately, on the last minute, on the delegation that we had in front of us in Cape Town, we had to allocate ourselves. We had to go with a team that is going to the Department of Transport and say maybe he is not responding because he's still there. He might not even have an opportunity to look at his SMSs. We've been sending since you've raised this issue, but I'm sure before we leave Cape Town, we will certainly respond personally to you, but we'll send an email especially to the Secretariat. In relation to the SONA response, we've got a report. We'll leave this here, and you will direct us when we can come and present it to the Portfolio Committee. I am sorry, I just don't have that information.
The last one is on the 18th, with this asset register. Are you sure that in the next financial year, are we going to get a unqualified report?
Is that then? Okay, I thought we were joking to the AD.
I think it's working.
It's working in progress. We've got issues that we work with on a daily basis that are driven by the CFO in terms of before the report, we work with the final management letter, we work with the AG, but there will be issues over and above the report. Once the report has been presented, it comes out, whatever nature it is, we constantly have a program that works on all the issues, including the asset register.
Chairperson, I just want to come back to the beginning, Ronnie. This bullet right at the beginning where the interaction with stakeholders, we quickly went into the new section. The allocation of budget in terms of user department's mandate. I just want to have clarity about that. What is the user department's mandate on maintenance? So what do they allocate for maintenance? I mean, we have this tension with health and the other big departments about, you know, doing their own buildings and maintenance and so on. So can you just unpack for me what does that sentence more or less means? What do you expect from a user department? What do you do yourself?
Thanks to you, Honorable Chairperson. When we prepare a user asset management plan, one of the key areas that the department focuses on is their core mandate. Now, in that particular document, if the Department of Health, can I speak to health?
Yeah, that's good.
Indicate that their core mandate is to look after our health environment. I don't know how they will put it, but surely they will not say it's to manage immovable property. Then, when that time comes during July and August, between July and August, that the user department, the custodian department, and the relevant treasury to say how do we allocate budget. Then the three parties will agree. When it comes to management, particularly that of immovable assets, it must go to the custodian department. And other budgets for goods and services will then go to that particular user department. There will be a situation where a user department will be allocated a small amount for repair. Sometimes repairs and maintenance go together, but for repairs. Let's take, for example, a school. If a child kicks a ball during break, window break, the school can either fix it or SDB or public works. But once we have agreed on the repairs, it can go either way. And then coming back to health, if a theater stops working now, it must start working immediately. Now, how do we manage the situation around that? Those are some of the exceptional cases where you find that the allocation of certain things goes to the user department. But the main one for management of immovable should go to that particular custodian.
Okay, now, in general. Okay, thank you very much, Jay.
What you have just illustrated, are you still ever going to make a presentation?
We are not. Much as we have guided the person that drafted it, we haven't got the person, especially to back the follow-up questions. We just wanted to make sure that the honorable members get it, and then we can come to present.
So I think the first thing that I wanted to just comment on was on the issue of the department and the initiative. It's clear that the department hasn't tabled the president, because procedurally the president is supposed to be tabled to the fiscal office and they refer to the relevant committee who made a procedural issue. That is for the British president, but other entities in the department. But if it's not yet asked, the shortest that they are going to table. Then I wanted to comment on the second question. Oh, you were making a comment on the comment, on the presentation of the comment. That's what I wanted to just comment that it's difficult for us to engage the department directly if the document is circulated in the meeting. I think that you need to want to emphasize on that one, that if the document is circulated in the meeting, let's agree that we don't deal with that because it does make the meeting. So if you want to understand the document, you must be given enough time to go through it to prepare what that, so that we can be able to engage the department. So,
thank you very much for the presentation. I think we should always on monthly basis as agreed that on the asset register will always monthly will get a report monthly erroneous a detailed one based on the provinces, not on the region. But it will get confused when you present it or present it on the region. And on that note,
would expect you, the person responsible for the corner, to come and present it for us. That's the end of the meeting. And enjoy the rest of the day. And
about
the ANC.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. It might be my last meeting, but I don't know if I'm on the
can
list. I'll go. If I'm not on the list, I'll remain. So it's a bit uncertain.
Yeah.
Okay.